Welcome to The Bible Never Said That. I'm glad to have you here as we discuss another saying that society and even the church likes to say, but needs some clarification and tweaking to be correct because on its own, it's theologically problematic. My name is Shara Donahue, and today we are discussing the popular saying, life is all about balance. I chose this saying for the first of the new year because it is naturally a time of reflection for many, even in uncertain times. When people evaluate their lives, they see the need for balancing priorities. They look for what has taken time should not have been allowed, and where more time should be given. It is wise to assess how we spend our time because, unlike money, we cannot earn more. It is a limited commodity. But to say life is all about balance is placing too much stock in an abstract idea, and for the Christian to say it would be equal to idolatry, because for the Christian life, it can only ever be all about Christ. Yes, I understand that's a slight tweak on a worldly saying, but a necessary one, because it is an easy saying to accept. But too often Christians get to a point in life where they think it is natural to compartmentalize Christ as if he and our walk with him is just another thing to be balanced among all the demands of life, instead of a holy God worthy of all our devotion. We have our Sunday mornings given to Christ, and maybe just maybe a weekly Bible study if time permits, our Monday mornings given to work, and our Saturday nights given to leisure. Or however a balanced schedule might play out. Do not hear me wrong. I am not saying we should be at church every day. Ministry can become an idol as quickly as balance. But I am saying Christ is not a compartment in our life. He is our life. Without him, we would still be dead in our sins. So we don't try to live any area of our life apart from him and his influence. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6. This chapter is right in the middle of the Sermon of the Mount. Jesus has already talked about the Beatitudes, that we are the salt of the earth, so don't lose your saltiness, that he is the fulfillment of the law, that we are all more prone to be adulterers and murderers than we want to believe. And he tells us to be careful with making oaths, love your enemies, and give to the needy. To pray for God's kingdom to come, avoid hypocrisy, and to not worry about storing our treasures here on earth. Then, in verse 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." What I want us to really pay attention to here is that people cannot serve two masters. We cannot balance out what we worship and serve. When we work, play, give, Christ should be in the midst of it all. Colossians 3:4 tells us, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." And Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, I empathize here. I used to strive for balance. Beyond the ability to just walk in a straight line, it seemed like a reasonable algorithm by which to manage life. Executive functioning skills, operating seamlessly, sounds appealing. But throughout all of the failed chore charts and delayed scheduling attempts and disjointed emotional episodes, I began to notice that God didn't see my need for balance to be as critical as I did. It became clear that he didn't tout balance as a morality marker or perfect compartmentalization as the goal of the saints. In the scriptures, more often than not, the word balance is an economic term or talking about some type of ancient scale used for business transactions. The closest scripture I have been able to find in reference to how this saying uses the word is in Job 31:6, when Job asked to be weighed with honest scales to show his blamelessness. Now, we are not weighed by our good and evil, and we would be in trouble if we were. This pagan idea reminds me of Egyptian mythology when the false god Anubis would weigh hearts against the weight of the feather of truth. If this were the case, I know I wouldn't make it out, and you wouldn't either. We are all sinners in need of saving grace, and nor our own righteousness or balance can save us. The good news is that the Bible doesn't say our good and evil will be weighed. It says we are made blameless and completely pure when forgiven by Christ and Christ alone. So, how has balance in life moved up as the virtue to be sought after, like some kind of holy grail? Zealous, passion-driven, successful people usually aren't really balanced. In fact, many of them are unapologetically focused, willing to sacrifice whatever keeps them from their goal. So you can see this can also be a problem if a person's purpose or goal is not Christ alone. By no means am I saying that we should throw off responsibilities, roles, and relationships, but Jesus never tells us to balance our lives. He never instructs us to find the perfect harmony between our relationship with Him, our career, and everyone else. He says, follow me, seek me, come to me, love me. This faith-driven mode of life allows one area of life to overflow into the next like an infinite river. Our identity no longer resembles a Russian nesting doll, fractured into different parts of unequal sizes, looking the same but separate. Instead, we get peace that leads us wholly into who God created us to be. All parts of us, whoever you are, creative, friend, spouse, nurse, teacher, essential worker, whatever your career of choice, parent, daughter, son, they all intermingle and collectively breathe Jesus' life when we place all of our life into His hands. We do not sacrifice one part of who God made us to be to let the other live. But as we walk in the Spirit, we let them fuse together like the core of a shining star. We get to be whole because we are His. We can enjoy where we are and who we are becoming. We can move boldly forward into whatever the world throws at us next, right? Because whatever comes, we face it with Jesus. Let's continue with Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. It says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Hear that? Seek first His kingdom. And all those other things you worry about striking a balance with will find their place as you worship Jesus with all you do. But if you have lost sight that life is all about living for the glory of God, you will continue to find yourself frustrated with the twists and turns this life takes us on. Now, it would be foolish for me to tell you to make your life all about Christ and not offer some practical steps that can help you get closer to that. Because when we are striving to balance our lives as the world tells us to balance them, it can be a symptom that our spiritual life isn't thriving. And when we know that the most important relationship in our life is our relationship with Jesus Christ, times of spiritual dryness can feel like torment to our souls. I hate to break it to you, but even when we are faithfully seeking to live for God, there are times when the relationship can feel distant. It can feel like being cut off from the very air we breathe. But If we aren't careful during those times, we grow too familiar with our souls gasping because it feels too hard to fix, and we just settle for spiritual hypoxia and search for other things to fill our time with. Good news is we don't have to surrender to hopelessness amidst these desert places. We can keep walking and seeking the spiritual refreshment for which our hearts are aching. The fact that you are listening to the show that shows that you're willing to fight for renewal in your own life. And that's the first step. So bravo, you're here. As one of my pastors loves to say, showing up changes everything.
Look around you. Your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes the incredible true story.
It's going to be dangerous and scary and giving up. It's not an option.
The story of one family's journey from down under to center stage. Unsung Hero, a For King and Country film starring Candace Cameron Bure and Terry O'Quinn. In theaters now. Visit unsunghero.movie to learn more. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
So let's talk about a couple ways we can reawaken ourselves to a life lived fully for Christ while still living out our daily duties in a way that honors Christ. I'll also link to an article in the notes that I wrote a while back that has a week's worth of prayers for when you're feeling spiritually dry. So you can find it there in the notes if you want to access something like that. But the first thing I would suggest is that we up our God awareness. Now, stick with me here. I know that sounds a little strange, but when we are feeling far from the abundant life we know that Jesus offers, it often indicates that we have shifted our gaze. We don't see God in our daily movements. When Hebrews 12:2 tells us that we should be fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, we look to Jesus because even though our love and dedication may wax and wane, God never changes. He is faithful, good, and mighty. He was, is, and is to come. And when we open our eyes to the fullness of his character, we begin to see him moving in all our circumstances, the lives of people, and our own inner places. We see him at the grocery store, the school, wherever we go, because he gave us his spirit to be with us in every moment of life. We must seek to enjoy God's presence in every moment of our days, so we acknowledge that he is with us. And then, our point number two, we look for how are we connecting with God? When we are feeling spiritually dry, it is often because we have let daily habits or stressful seasons lure us away from the places that replenish us. We pick up our phones instead of our Bible. We send out a like instead of sending up a prayer. We want to ignore the dryness and don't always see that we're making it worse. If we continue in patterns that cause us to wither, there will be no end to the drought. We cannot relieve the hunger without the right nourishment. Just as our body begins to weaken and our emotions begin to flare, hello, hangry. When we need to eat, our souls can become symptomatic of our spiritual hunger as well. And I'll tell you what, it is not pretty, not to mention painful. Well, there are many things I could suggest to feed us when we hunger spiritually, in addition to prayer and Bible reading, like loving the church, risking hope, and killing sin. And I'll give you real quick a quote that has helped me by John Piper. He says, "Killing sin is not optional. This is mortal combat. Sin dies or we die. We refuse to settle in with sin." So Just a side note, you cannot kill sin without drawing strength and connecting to God. So when you go through that process, you feel closer to Him. But I'm going to wrap up today with our need to allow ourselves to be awestruck by our wonderful God. When we forget to marvel at who He is, we forget who we are. These days, we see things on screens that people a century back didn't even dream of, with CGI-enhanced movies, AI robots, and the next mind-bending invention showing up every other day. We can easily forget what it is to truly stand in awe. Often, natural beauty found in canyons, waterfalls, snow-covered peaks, and tropical paradises awakens something within us. But that is merely a glimpse of what it would be like to marvel at God, to tremble with amazement, as the people did in Luke 5:25 through 26, when they had just seen Jesus heal the paralyzed man. Scriptures say immediately He stood up in front of them, took what He had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Every day we can see remarkable things if our eyes are open. We need to remember and take notice of the things God has done and is doing. We need to be in awe of the ways He moves in the midst of a broken humanity. And we need the sanctuary and rest that an unbalanced life provides. We need it when days are filled with pandemics and political division. We want it when days are slow and filled with the mundane. We live out of a faith that says hope will not ultimately be disappointed and all will be made new. And in the meantime, we don't have to achieve balance, because when all of who we are is in the hands of the God of the universe, balance is surpassed by undivided trust. And trust brings about the glorious. Will you pray with me for the strength to live a life all about Jesus? Jesus, we want to see remarkable things and be left in awe of Your greatness. We know that You are the one who deserves all our praises. We know we should live a life all for You, but confess that there are days where our heart is not in it. Teach us what it is to obey You and look for You, at work or at school, in leisure or at play. Help us to want to see Your glory come down to an earth that desperately needs You, more than anything else. May we seek first Your kingdom and trust You to do the rest. It's in Your name we pray. So be it. Amen. Thanks for joining me today as we remembered that life is all about Jesus. The resources and articles referred to can be found in the show notes at lifeaudio.com/podcast or on iTunes. And if you are over in the notes, we'd love if you would rate and review this podcast so others can find us. And those of you who have left reviews, thank you so much. And until next time, may you seek the abundant life that Jesus died to give and live in the truth that sets people free.
Hey there, it's Carly Mercoulier, host of Therapy and Theology, a weekly podcast that explores popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.